Is the world's greatest democracy and economy broken? Not compared to the Civil War years or to the early 1930s. And not if one considers the miracles happening every day in America's laboratories, on the campuses of its world-class colleges and universities, in offices and lofts full of developers creating software for robots or for medical diagnostics, in concert halls and on Broadway stages, or at joyous ceremonies swearing in proud new citizens. And certainly not if the opportunities available today to women, non-whites, and other minorities are compared to what they faced as recently as a few decades ago. Yet measures of public engagement, satisfaction, and confidence, voter turnout, knowledge of public policy issues, faith that the next generation will have it better than the current one, and respect for basic institutions, especially the government, are far below the levels of a half century ago, and in many cases have reached historic lows. So deep is the estrangement that 46.1% of American voters were so disgusted with the status quo that in 2016 they chose to put Donald Trump in the White House. It is difficult to argue that the cynicism is misplaced. From the relatively small things, that Americans are now navigating through an average of 657 water main breaks a day, for example, to the core strengths that once propelled America. It is clear that the country has gone into a tailspin since the post-war era, when John F. Kennedy's new frontier was about seizing the future, not trying to survive the present. The celebrated American economic mobility engine is sputtering. A child's chance of earning more than his or her parents has dropped from 90% to 50% in the last 50 years. The American middle class, once the inspiration of the world, is no longer the world's richest. Income inequality has snowballed. Adjusted for inflation, middle-class wages have been nearly frozen for the last four decades, and discretionary income has declined if escalating out-of-pocket health care costs and insurance premiums are counted. Yet earnings by the top 1% have nearly tripled. The recovery from the crash of 2008, which saw banks and bankers bailed out while millions lost their homes, savings, and jobs, was reserved almost exclusively for the top 1%. Their incomes in the 3 years following the crash went up by nearly a third, while the bottom 99% saw an uptick of less than half of 1%. Only a democracy and an economy that has discarded its basic mission of holding the community together, or failed at it, would produce those results. Most Americans with average incomes have been left largely to fend for themselves, often at jobs where automation, outsourcing, the near vanishing of union protection, and the boss's obsession with squeezing out every penny of short-term profit have eroded any sense of security. Self-inflicted deaths from opioid and other drug abuse, alcoholism, and suicide are at record highs, so much so that the country's average life expectancy has been falling despite medical advances. Household debt by 2017 had grown higher than the peak reached in 2007 before the crash, with student and automobile loans having edged toward mortgages as the top claims on family paychecks. The world's richest country continues to have the highest poverty rate among the 35 nations in the Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development, OECD, except for Mexico. It is tied in second to last place with Israel, Chile, and Turkey. Nearly one in five of America's children live in households that their government classifies as food insecure, meaning they are without access to enough food for an active, healthy life.